I want to ask you to go back in time to yesterday when I requested you to rate your japa. Remember, you had a number. We said 10 is when you are really an enlightened chanter with Krishna Darshan. Number 1 is the number when it's absolutely miserable. And when you are the number 5, it's, so to say, just cruising along. You're not going, you feel, well, I'm chanting, but it, you know, it's better than no chanting, but so when you would give yourself the number 6, it means you are coming out of the twilight zone of chanting and you are really chanting with taste. And if you would go, let us say, the number 4, yes, you would feel that it's hard for you to chant. So let me ask you a question. How would you feel if the quality of your japa remains like the way it is now for the rest of your life? Just think about it. Can someone share how they would feel? But please tell me when I ask these questions, it's very important, not how you think you would feel, but how do you feel at the thought? Disappointed. Yeah. Really? Miserable. Not making progress. Yeah.
Plain.
Sorry?
Plain.
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 No taste, yeah.
Unsatisfied.
Unsatisfied, really.
Wasted life.
Wasted life, yeah.
Doing something wrong.
Sad. Sad, yes. I asked myself this question, Braj Kishore, about 10 years ago or 15 years ago. For me, the question was a little different. It would the question was, how would I feel if I would stay on the level of my Krishna consciousness on which I'm presently? And I mean, I must say, I was always a happy person. I'm quite. That's why I smile so much. I'm happy. I'm like this man there on the painting, the japa retreat in the corner. The eyes go this direction, means I'm thinking all the time. The mouth goes this way. I'm feeling happy with my thoughts. It's not like, I mean, there are moments when I'm not so happy, of course, like every. So, but I was asking myself the question, how would I feel if I would stay on this level of Krishna consciousness where I'm at? And my personal answer was, I would really feel I have not used the teachings of Krishna consciousness to the full. I think I would have wasted the time of my spiritual master, which he invested in me. And I would also have wasted my own lifetime, because I thought I'm before a palace. It's that my spiritual master has said, this is all for you. And I'm just not entering the palace and looking what is there. Something like this, wasted. I would, and I felt also I would have betrayed myself and my life, my opportunity in life. Now later, then I said, well, how can I become more Krishna conscious then? And I tried to find out how I could develop a better relationship to Krishna. I asked, to be honest, in my Satchidananda Swami way, I'm a little adventurous by nature. Some of you might know. I went to India. I asked every spiritualist I could get hold of. I remember in the Madhva Sampradaya in Udupi, I went to the leader of the Madhvas and asked, how do you make advancement? And he said, you have to actually take care of the cows. Hare Krishna, that I can't do, you know, I'm just too impractical. But I understand go-seva is important because the cow is so dear to Krishna. But I didn't find it was relevant. I looked for many answers. Answers which I, and so on. And then I somehow met one great devotee who has left the planet. His name is Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. And he said to me, well, your spiritual master said that 90% of your advancement is dependent on chanting japa. I had to hear it from outside. Then I looked for this statement, and I found it. And I looked for Prabhupada's statement, and he really is making no, he just doesn't make any secret out of it. Our chanting of the holy name is the most important thing to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. If you chant well, you make happy advancement. If you don't, you don't. It's just that simple. Then I studied Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, and I found out, my dear devotees, that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had preached about 9 processes of devotional service, although he had instructed Rupa Goswami to write about 64 practices, he only practiced 1. Philip, could you imagine what that was? Chanting the holy name. He said, from this practice alone comes love of Godhead. So then I decided, well, I guess this is clear enough, even for a foolish Westerner like me. I should become a good chanter. It was clear to me. So I would now like to explore a little bit more the world of your own world of feelings. I will ask this our Manditangi to write it down. What you write now? I want to request you to think about a bad japa day when it was really a bad japa day. How did you feel during this day? Feelings. What you will hear. Yes. Drained. What does this mean? Lack of energy, everything, like if this is now full, when it's drained, it's nothing is there. Yeah. Durcheinander means, you know, not in place. Yeah. Empty hearts. But then you can fill it with busyness, isn't it? Yeah. Empty. Just not connected to Krishna and so. Hungry or angry? Hungry one is in, yeah. Angry. Yeah. Philippi. No enthusiasm and shakti for preaching. Other shakti is there, isn't it? Sometimes. Yeah. no spiritual thought. Yeah. Revoyé.
Distracted.
Yeah. This is very, very, you know, we may not always feel so miserable, but if we are not chanting, I think this is very good what Philip Revoyé says from his experience, then you are, everything else is, interesting. Oh, the movie is so good.
More Maya than usual.
More Maya, yeah. Usually. This is, don't note this down, please. It will make you disturbed. This is an exercise. Govindananda, you should not feel like that. For preaching, yeah, good. Yeah. Girivara Nayaka, isn't it? Your name is like this? No?
Mahavir.
Mahavir, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you can just write somewhere, It's not that this will go into the back to Godhead, the Japa retreat, one of the important findings of the Japa retreat, emptiness. Well, feelings. You really, if you can't connect to the feelings by the end of the Japa retreat, you will, but don't say anything if well, Amrita Kelly.
Desire to bring the time back.
I'm sorry?
Desire to bring the time back to wake up again.
Yeah, when you were in the Veda Academy and had that little room and you were really getting up at 4 o'clock and you were so spiritual, everyone wanted to marry you, No, I'm joking. Yes, but the good old times, yes. The day, even. The day, oh yeah. Huh? The day? You want to start the day again? Oh, wonderful. Yes, wonderful. Go like, can we take this back? Start again, Amrita Kelly. Just like this. Wonderful. Eduardo. Yes, we remember the good times, yes. So now we will take a better piece of paper and a better question. Now, I want you to ask yourself the question, how do you feel on an excellent Japa day? What are the feelings? Go back. It's not a brain activity. Please go back when you chanted excellently. What were your feelings on that day? Happiness.
Mood of serving.
Mood of service. Let's do some service. Yes. Mood of service, yes. Let's do some slushpa. Happiness, yes. Want to chant more?
Peace.
Mir. Finally. Yes. Blissful. Yes. Amarananda.
Fresh.
Fresh. Yeah. See, do you feel when devotees connect with their feelings, we all feel, oh yes, I'm also like this. It's not a mental exercise, huh?
More aware.
I think less of me and I think more of Krishna.
Wonderful, Maharaji. What is your good name?
Anna.
Anna, yes. Anna thinks less of herself and more of Krishna. Gratitude, yes. I must tell you, I feel, I think I shouldn't say it, but I feel love in my heart. It really love, you know. Lubav sa Krishna, I feel the heart goes, opens. I think, well, hopefully this fits in the chest, you know, this heart. And I feel also very much like, it's not just this love, it's a pulling in the heart. The feelings are pulled to Krishna, because Krishna's name, I think he is like he pulls. He pulls us out of the material world. It's a very sweet and intoxicating feeling on a japa day. I also lose my fear. I'm a little bit afraid of death sometimes, like all human beings. I feel without fear. What else? How do we feel? Devashi Narada.
I like to give same experience to other people.
Yes, this is a... I like to give the experience to others. Philippe.
I want to hug everybody.
You want to hug everyone? There's a movement in Zagreb, you can... do you know? Yeah. No, they do. I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Overexcited. Yeah. Overexcited, yeah. Vijeta.
Connected.
To whom?
Krishna.
To Krishna. Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Eduardo. You feel embraced. Like a child, maybe. Yeah. Madhati? Protected from illusion. Protected. Oh, yeah. Your good name?
Petra.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Prabhu?
Living in the presence.
Living in the presence. What is your good name, please?
Veet,
like knowing.
Yes.
Wonderful. Veet, yes. Vedavit, yes. Vedavit. Yeah, Dayal Nitai. Under the influence of spiritual nature. I don't know how one feels that, but you are from Sarajevo. It must be possible. Yes. Under the influence of the spiritual nature. Don't know. That's an interpretation of a feeling by your intelligence and by what you have heard. But let's not make it complicated. Yes. Feelings, raw feelings, which come. Zhup. Fulfilled, yes. Now, my dear devotees, we all want to spread, we all are in this Krishna consciousness movement. Now imagine, you would explain someone, no, the other one, Manditangi, someone, your experience in the Krishna consciousness movement. You would say, in the Hare Krishna movement, I feel drained. I'm not in place. I'm empty. I'm not connected. I'm angry. What is it else? Not enthusiastic. Distracted. I always want to start my day again feeling so miserable. I feel more in Maya since I'm in the Hare Krishna movement. You know, how can anyone, including yourself, be happy with such a movement where you have such a life? Think, my dear devotees, think deeply. Is this what life has to offer to you? and eat the next one. I'm a rhetoric here, I know it. Now imagine you would look at your life and you would say, well, I'm in the mood of service. I want to chant more. I'm blissful, happy, fresh. I'm thinking less of myself. I think more of Krishna. My heart is filled with gratitude. I desire to share my experience with others and feel so ecstatic. I want to hug everyone. I feel so connected. And I'm not just excited. I'm more than excited. I'm protected. I feel protected. I feel living in the presence and under the influence of the spiritual nature. You know, this is how one wants to live, right? And this is what will attract also others to live, right? My dear devotees, you can't afford to have a bad japa day. It's just not... What are you doing to yourself, I have to ask you? Killing yourself. You purposefully make yourself frustrated, empty, drained, not connected, out of place. But every day we do this. Are we not like a person who just every day in a masochistic mood just puts the knife a little bit deeper in his flesh? Now, again, someone might ask, well, Maharaj, you're a little intense today, but please remember, 90% of your advancement is dependent on the way you chant, and because you are here for making advancement and progress, when you chant good, then you can see your life is very good. You make advancement. You feel like this. Only for 2 hours, you feel like this. If you don't, then you feel like that. So we must do something about our japa. What do you think, Sundarananda, after this exercise? Isn't it compelling? I mean, these were your words. I hope that you just didn't just talk from your mind, because it's good in the Hare Krishna movement to give such answers. I hope you're truthful. See, I need your 100% participation, because we are now on a journey. We want to explore this subject. It must be real answers. But when I did this exercise for the first time in the Mendler Institute in Woodstock, that's in upstate New York, Mahatma Prabhu, our facilitator, asked us to go through this. After this, I said, oh, can I make a pause and think about my life again? It was really compelling. Thank you for helping us, Manditangi, for writing. Is the blissful page there? Good, good. My dear devotees, most of us have japa techniques or japa habits, I wanted to say, which are not satisfactory, because that's what you wrote. When you rated your japa, you were not satisfied with it. This is what I could hear from you. Everyone here in the audience makes his life bad. That is what I hear from you. And I know you are in the japa retreat because you sincerely hope to get some impulses, some instructions that your life, that your japa becomes better and your life becomes better. And that's why I take it so absolutely serious. I really want that everyone who leaves this japa retreat will not only improve his japa, but your life will be transformed and you will tell others of the experience and you are just blissful devotees, Philip. Philip? Oh, yes. Two Philips, isn't it? Yes, two Philips. And for this, we will need to do a heavy work, which is breaking habits. We are doing bad japa because we have bad japa habits. I believe the great enemy is unconscious japa. We are not conscious of what we do. We do it, you know, everything which you do every day, the mind switch usually off and you go on automatic pilot. You do it automatically. Like, I don't remember all the details of my shower taking this morning. I just somehow shower. I do it like every day. I can't remember, you know, when exactly I went. And after how many minutes I finally arrived at my foot and showered my foot. I just don't remember this. And because I know by now to take a shower. And it's good. The power of habits is very important. There was once a man, he lived in in middle India, and he wanted to go to the Himalayas. But that was a long journey, so he went to the sadhu, a sadhu who had mystical abilities, and he asked the sadhu to kindly help him to reach the Himalayas before he was too old. The sadhu said, and when he made like this, a wonderful brown horse came. It was a dark brown horse. It was a horse from yesterday. You know, that came, that horse. And he said, ride on this horse. There are two commands which you must know. When you say, when you tell to the horse, thank God, it will just gallop like anything, tulum 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 tulum, and even take off and fly through the sky. No, he can't do it. It will just run very fast. And when you say, save me, the horse will stop. These are when you make, I want to see if I could give you the brown horse. What do you have to do to make the dark brown horse go? What do you have to say? Thank God. And if you want it to stop, what do you have to say?
Save me.
Good. You understand. I'm trying to get the dark brown horse for this evening, and we will see how Banu Nandini can ride it. So he got on the horse. The horse didn't move. He made like what you usually do with your legs. That moved. Then he said, oh yes, I want to make it go. Thank God. The horse started slowly. Then it went very brittle. Oh, wonderful. With this pace, I was certain, and it was easy. You know, it was not gung, 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 gung. It was just like an Audi. Then the evening came, and the man said, wonderful, I remember, now it's time to rest. So what do we do? What do I say to stop it? Save me, good. The horse went down and stopped. Wonderful, he said, wonderful, wonderful. This continued for a few more days, and it was really, somehow the horse was so, it was a mystical horse, it just was so brittle. One day, it was when the Himalayas started, at the beginning of the Himalayas, the horse came, ran, and there was a cliff coming. Oh, he saw, I hope the horse sees it. And you know, at But the horse seemed to just run towards the cliff. The man got in anxiety, and finally he said, "Save me!" Oh, and the horse stopped just before the cliff. The man felt great relief, and a habit came in. Thanks God! The horse started again and fell down the cliff. And the man died. The horse is still here. You can ride it this evening if you want. He was a slave to his habits. You know, when something good happens, we say, thanks God. Or, you know, like this. Thanks God. It starts again. Each one of us, I think we would have said, thanks God, you know, in this situation. We are slaves to our habits, my dear devotees. This is what the story says. And this is why we need to now work on our japa. And we will start with the first dimension, the physical dimension. Are you enthusiastic?
Yes.
Do you see that there is a necessity to work on the japa?
Yes.
Good. So you will give your best?
Yes.
Whatever it is, you know, that best we want to see. Ah, Krishna. There is something about habits which you must know. A habit is created when you do something for a long time. Usually psychology tells you 30 to 40 days. When you do something, then it becomes a habit. For instance, when I learn a new exercise, like I remember I learned this complicated Tai Chi exercise where you need to just do a few movements at the same time. And I needed maybe 15 days? Don't remember. What? What? I learned it in 5 days. Really, in 5 days. But in 5 days I learned this. I had to do it again and again, and then all of a sudden, you know, and you stand in your position. So, if you want to develop a habit, you need usually time. 5 days was extraordinary. But Vanu Nandini, I think I don't know yet the breathing and all this properly. A little longer with the breathing, 10 days. So normally we learn japa, bad habits in 30, 40 days. Then it's really there. It's really with you. You chant too fast. You all have 3 minutes. The round is finished. My God, what has happened? and you all these habits which you have. And now listen, to break a habit, to create another habit of good japa, can also be done in 30 to 40 days. That's why at the end of the japa retreat, we give you a japa reform workbook, which you can do over 40 days, and then you are a good chanter. It's really like you can create a habit and break a habit, but you need time, 30 to 40 days. I don't know why this is. It has to do maybe with the size of our the screw size of our brain, you know. It is somehow we are constructed like this. So we will, when we want to increase our japa, we will have to, and enrich our life, we have to learn a few things. Prabhupada stressed 5 rules for good chanting. First of all, he always said we should avoid offenses. against the holy name and against Krishna. Does someone of you have Nam Rahasya here with you, the book? You have it, but upstairs. Would you be willing to get it for us? Yes. So, in the Nam Rahasya, it's a book I have given, I've written about offenses and how to give them up. Another thing Prabhupada stressed very much is that you have a distinct pronunciation. That means you really pronounce the mantra well. Another thing he always said is you should practice attentive hearing. He said you must be concentrated. And also he said we should use the early morning hours for chanting. Prabhupada spoke of the Brahma Muhurta as the best time where we can have a lot of support, atmospheric support. How do you calculate the Brahma Muhurta? I want to give you a very easy mathematical thing. You will smile because I try to enter now mathematics with you. When the sun rises, you subtract 90 minutes from this. And then you add 48 minutes, and that's the Brahma Muhurta. Let's make it clear. Let us say the sun rises at 5 o'clock. Then 5 o'clock minus 90 minutes, what is that? 3:30. The Brahma Muhurta will start from 3:30 up to, what is 3:30 and 48?
4:18.
Yeah, that's the Brahma Muhurta. That's the best time to chant. That's the best time for any spiritual practice. Times are very important when you want to do something. For instance, for Grihasthas, I learned something new in Russia when I studied the Satprajna Upanishad. When you want to create a child, it's best to do it in the night because the fluid of the woman is more at that time, and the also the physical in the physical body of the man, it's better suited for this. Sometimes devotees saying, well, this is the time of tamagun. I should create a child in the daylight, and then they wonder that they try 50 times and nothing comes, you know. It's their times to do everything. This is the idea. I wanted to give you a biological time to do things. Or the kidney function is high between 5 and 7 o'clock. I have a weak kidney, and therefore I drink a lot between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock to flush out the things, you know, in the morning, and also in the evening it starts. Yes, two times, the kidney. 5 and 7 o'clock. Did I say 10 o'clock? It was wrong. 5 and 7 o'clock. There are times, and for spiritual practice, Brahma Muhurta is the time. That is the time just before sunrise. We were, a little while ago, we were driving early in the morning from Italy to Split, and we came into the Brahma Muhurta time, and I said to the devotees, just look around. Do you feel what energy is in the atmosphere now? We could all feel it. We made a research work, you know. That time, if you can coordinate your life to chant, if you miss it, no problem. Early hours are also good. Why could early hours be good? The mind is peaceful and clear. You have not yet lived your life. So, these are some of Prabhupada's advices for the chanting. I would like to go with you about now through a few exercises. Krishna, we are moving a little slow here. May I ask you to do me a favor? This is homework. Have you seen this book, the Nam Rahasya? Damayanti, did we bring copies from Damayanti? Will make a book table somewhere. Could you do it? Or and you can just put a sign what is the price of the book, and the devotees can purchase it. You know, you don't have to be there. This book is a collection of very practical advices how to live your life and make a wonderful transformation of your life. On page 34 to 35, you will find a very, very wonderful advice how to avoid the 10 roadblocks, the 10 offenses in chanting. I request you as a homework to read it, because we don't want to, we don't have so much time to go through each point, because we only have one day for this foundational things. But in this book, those of you who are poor can make a photocopy here for free. But please make it. It will be very good for you. There are the offenses which we have to avoid. Who knows one offense?
Unattentive chanting.
Blaspheming devotees. Disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, and such dark things, yes. There are prohibitions. But you know, our human mind functions like this. When something is prohibited, we want to go there and check it. Many of us, I am like this, you know, as a child. When they work on the street and there was this red thing, you know, then, oh, I just needed to climb under it and just look into the hole in the street, you know. If they wouldn't have done this, I would never have paid attention, you know. The mind is somehow interested in forbidden things, you know. We are like this, with our dark side, so to say, our conditioned side. And if you just think always of, I don't want to offend devotees, I don't want to follow, to be against my spiritual master's instructions, I don't want to be inattentive, you know, you send something to the stupid mind who doesn't hear this don't, and goes. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that in each one of these 10 prohibitions, there is an inference or indication, or let us say a positive injunction. And I have copied this from Harinam Chintamani, like, diligently give up blasphemy of Vaishnava sadhus by praising them. Praise devotees. Adopt the pure understanding that God is the only truth. The Supreme Lord Vishnu is the only truth. Huh? And tense. Meditate on the holy name without distraction. There's these very powerful positive instructions. And if you hear them and if you read them regularly, you send just, it's called in psychology, positive affirmations into your mind and subconsciousness. Do you know this is, we work like this. If you say something positive, your subconsciousness grabs it and you do it. When you do something, have a negative idea, the subconsciousness grabs it and you do it. So positive affirmations are used in modern medicine nowadays, you know, to heal yourself and cure yourself. When I was so bad, my health was so bad, I just said every day, I will dance for Krishna. And one day I did it. Because it's magical. It goes into your subconsciousness and from there it works and then one day you dance. Positive affirmation is very good. Negative things don't work that strong on the mind. Of course, we must philosophically know what are the 10 offenses. I'm not saying we should stop reading them in the morning and so on and so forth. But we should translate them into positive action. No? It's not enough to not just not blaspheme a devotee. You should praise a devotee and serve the devotee. Mahaprabhu he said, the same mouth that has blasphemed devotees should be used to praise them. He said, when someone drinks with the mouth a dangerous poison, he can be cured by drinking with the same mouth medicine. So we want to follow the 10, we want to do the positive injunctions. We want to drink nectar, no? Meditate on the holy name without distraction. If you want to have a good japa day, do you want to know what to do? Okay. First, prepare yourself well the day before. Rest. There are devotees who don't sleep enough, and one is sitting in our room here, and he has now conditioned his body to be always tired when he sits. He is only awake when he is active. You know, you need to break this. You need to become alert. Prepare yourself the day before. Then you have to know the way of resting. If you want, I can teach you a technique to be asleep in 1 minute. Maybe we should do it and we should lay down. No, I will do this on another day when you are a little bit more tired. Then it works a little better. After the 64 rounds day, we can do it. When we are in the monastery. Yeah, there we have a lawn and then we do yoga nidra, okay? It's the yoga of sleep. There's a yoga of sleep, you know. Because all the Matajis, they can lie in one corner and we lie in another corner and then I will hypnotize you and you will dream in the monastery. Then don't eat such heavy food, especially in the night. Because in the evening in the night you should give your body a pause. It should rest and eat. Therefore, in the japa retreat, we don't serve heavy food. And then the night before, when you go to bed, put something in your mind, a sankalpa. Tomorrow is my good japa day. This is how you sleep. It goes into the subconscious and it stays there. Then we come to a good part. The morning we go into a posture. I want to teach you something about posture. This is the first part really of the workshop. I'm so enthusiastic to preach. Please get up for a moment. I want to make now a second point. Once there was a man who was very miserable and he came to a spiritual master in India. He came like this. Oh, and he said,
pranams, pranams, Guruji, pranams, pranams. I feel so extremely miserable. My wife has cooked the sabjis with too much chili. And he started to just tell all the miseries. So the guru didn't answer, but he also took on this position. He also went like this. And after 2 minutes, he said, it works! It works also with me! I also feel miserable! Posture influences the mind. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would always say in the japa when he would see someone sit properly. I remember a time when my older brother, Vaidyanath, was with us in Amsterdam, and Prabhupada gave a lecture. And all of a sudden, Prabhupada went like this on the Vyasasana. Can you see? Like the knees. And he said, don't sit like this. And my older brother was very, very young in Krishna consciousness. He had come to join us in Paris. And he came to me and said, why should I not sit like this? This is very comfortable. Like this, you know. And Srila Prabhupada, and I said, oh, well, I only know there's this japa tape with Prabhupada, where Prabhupada interrupts his japa a few times and tells to the devotees, sit properly. Now, a little while ago, I discovered the answer in the Vedanta Sutra. In the Vedanta Sutra, Baladev Vidyabhushana quotes a verse where it says that for prayer and japa, proper posture is essential. And he then describes that three things must be aligned. First is the hip, where you sit. Then the chest must be open. And the neck must be in a straight line. This is so because in one of the yoga shastras or everywhere it is said, the mind is pacified by proper posture. It has to do with the natural energy channels which go through the body, the electrical wiring of the body. And I want to now request you all to just learn to sit properly. We will do a little yoga thing. For this, you first need to become a little bit body conscious. Don't worry. This is not about body conscious. It's a very spiritual retreat. But I would like, see, you first must know that when you sit, I will do it a little bit for you. This is called the pelvis. Everyone has it. Germans, Croatians, and English people also. And when this pelvis goes forward like this, you develop a lordosis, the natural bending in the body. A certain way is desired, but when it goes backwards, it's like this. You develop a an arch from which all the back problems develop. So could we do just a it's just 1 minute yoga. Are you creative enough, or is it disturbing for you to do yoga? No problem. Good. The way you can really experience is, also no need to look in my direction because we will soon chant something. You can almost feel in your body that you take your body like a shirt and just hang it on the skeleton, which is now aligned properly, which is sitting properly, and you just hang it there and let it peacefully stay there. I acknowledge that some of us with back problems and sciatic problems will have to address these problems separately from this class, but a person who's normally healthy should be able to sit like this and just remain like this, because if you would now crumble, you know, if the twin towers would break and you be like this, you just won't have such a clear mind. It will not be easy to be alert and stay awake. But if you are like this, then the yogically the pranas and everything can work and flow. With a happy, alert mind, you can chant your rounds. So I request you now to chant on your own the mantra, not all together, and from time to time just correct your posture into the sit properly posture. Yes? From time to time just watch it, that you, whenever you feel your habit is usually to sit like this, I saw you this morning, then just gently pull it back. And after some time doing it, you will always sit like this. Mm-hmm. How many days does it usually take to build a new habit? 32. You know everything. So now please do. Vijeta, you are sitting properly? All right, please start your own japa. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So this is the first tool which you have now, a sit properly tool. It's based on really Prabhupada's simple instructions, sit properly, and also on the knowledge from the yoga shastras that posture will influence our mind. We had an experience of this when we were in the Gauranga pose and you were all smiling and laughing and you couldn't feel miserable, although you were obliged to feel miserable. Posture is the first thing we can do with our body. But what is maybe even more important than posture? What we do physically. Breathing. Pronunciation. Yes, I would like to come to the pronunciation part. Srila Prabhupada writes about this in the Adi Lila. One should note in this connection that chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips as well as the tongue. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced. Distinctly means clearly and heard. Sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting with the proper pronunciation with the help of the lips and tongue. Chanting is very simple, but one must practice it
seriously. Therefore, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, advises everyone to keep this verse strung about his neck. It's really, you must learn to use the lips. I just want to, you to for, to make a silent exercise where you just move the lips. I will not look, just do, because it's embarrassing if someone sees us. Many of us never use these muscles. Even when eating, we are just lazy. Like a fish. Okay. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, but we have to learn all these things, you know. And then we should pronounce properly what we speak. There is a certain reason why we do pronounce the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I did it a little exaggerated. The reason is, and I learned this from Krishna Chetraprabhu, who is a Sanskrit wala, Sanskrit expert, is because the chanting of the holy name is, oops, Banu Nandini, I really need and more tables, you know, for, not now, but later. See, a little Sanskrit, I must explain it better. Hare Krishna, this is not really art. I want to ask you a question. How many names are in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Who thinks there are three names? Some of you are, oh no, yeah, well, maybe not. I would suggest that there are four names in the Hare Krishna Mantra. Listen very carefully. Here's something new for you. But also look here on my notes that I get it right. To make it very simple, most mantras are in the dative case. Like for instance the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo I don't really like to cut the name. Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya is a name of Krishna. And the mantra means, I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, no? Or Vasudev. Vaya means, I offer obeisances to Vasudev. I'm not addressing Vasudev in this mantra. I'm just declaring, I offer my obeisances to Vasudev. I'm not like this. I'm saying, I'm offering my obeisances to Vasudev. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The Hare Krishna mantra is not an indirect address, But it is a direct address. It's called, the case is called vocative. Vocative. I call Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In Sanskrit you would say actually, Hey Krishna, Hey Rama. No, it's vocative. Like, Hey John, Hey Sundarananda. Hey Sridhar. It's calling out, it's addressing directly. Hey Kunya Bihari. In English or German, it's a little impolite if I say, Hey Mahojwala. You know, it's a little impolite. But in Sanskrit, it's alright. Hey Krishna. Hey Krishna, Hey Krishna. There's even the song like this, which goes like this. It's a calling out. Now, when you have a vocative case, then the name changes. Just like here you have a dative case. It's not Vasudev any longer, but Vasudevaya or Gauraya. Gaura? And Gauraya. When you have a vocative case, the name also changes. Krishna's name is Hari. Let me say like this. One of Krishna's name is Rama. And in the vocative case, it is also Rama. It doesn't change. It remains Rama. Krishna's name, other name, is Hari. In the vocative case, it becomes, it changes. What does it become? Hare. Hey Krishna. Hare. One of Radharani's name is Hara. You know everything. In the vocative case, that name becomes Hare. So that's how in the Hare Krishna mantra there are four names. Sometimes Hari means Hari, Krishna. Another time it means Hara, Radha. But when it becomes vocative, it becomes Hari. Do you understand?
In which case he is
Krishna. No, when you, our Mataji tries to make it simple by saying, I will just say Hari Krishna. No, when you call, Krishna also, I should say, in the vocative case. Oh, this gets a little bewildered. It remains Krishna. They don't change. Why, you ask, they don't change? And Hari changes and Hara changes? That's Panini. Panini said so. Panini is the grammarian of the Sanskrit language. And since that time, no one asked this question why. It's just thousands of years, the situation. Only. So when is it Krishna? When is it Radha? It depends on whom you address. It depends on who you address. If for you Hare means Radha, then it's Radha. If you call Radha, then Radharani will hear it. If your mind is focused on Krishna, then it is Krishna whom you call. Your Maha Mantra is the vocative mantra. Yeah. It is the meaning. We will come to this in the chanting with the heart. I'm so happy that I can fascinate you or intrigue your thoughts. Meditation about the meaning of the mantra is very important, that we will learn a little later. Prabhupada usually said the Hare Krishna mantra, the Hare means Radha. He says, "Oh Hare Krishna, oh Radha, oh Krishna, please engage me in your service," right? Hare Krishna. And I personally think, to make things simple, I always think Hare means Radha. But there's Bhaktivinoda Thakur who has one translation of the names where he says in the beginning he addresses Hari, Krishna, O deliver me from material existence. Then Krishna, Hari, then Hari means Hari again, and then Krishna. And in the end, he just says one time Hari in the Maha Mantra means Radha, because then he focuses on Shrimati Radharani. So in the Hare Krishna mantra you have four names depending on whom you mean. This is because of the vocative idea. But of course, you know, when you want to make it very simple for devotees, you can also say three names, because you count. There's Hare, Krishna, and Rama. But it really... is this clear or is it too complicated? Clear. But I will take it away, because I don't want you to be hung up at this moment about this too much. I wanted to explain that my main point was my main point was that it's you need to pronounce properly Vijaya Gauranga because it's addressing the Lord. It's very impolite if I address someone and I slur his name, you know. It's so impolite if I just say like someone always addressed me as Satchmo. You know, Satchmo is a name of Louis Armstrong, the jazz musician. Some of you may not know him, and I thought, well, I'm not like Louis Armstrong. You have to say it properly. Or if someone says to us in a way, let us have a nice name, Mahichwala, you know, it's not good. We should say Mahochwala, you know, not Mahichwala. And it may mean something else, you know, in Sanskrit. I don't know. It's important if we address Krishna that we say it clearly. We need to say his name clearly. Therefore, pronunciation is important. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Now, my question is, do you have any question? Yes, this is a very common question. When we chant Rama, do we chant Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, or Rama? It's like this, that the mantra in the scriptures is described to be a mantra composed of 32 syllables. If you chant only Ram, there are four Ramas in the, then the mantra is the mantra of 28 syllables. It's no longer that mantra which the scriptures describe to be the mantra of 32 syllable. There's always one syllable missing. Of course, you don't make it a long A. It's not Rama, but it is Rama, Rama, a short A. I would like to play you at the end a japa tape from Prabhupada where you can listen to him chanting with the devotees. And I want to ask you to just listen to what you hear now. Please tell me what you hear. It's good if you sit properly, apply what you have learned, and just try to listen. Will come at any moment.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
I mean, when we hear this, we must say, it's Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu said it in a nice way. It's implicit, the A in Rama. You know the how would we say implicit? It's included, something like this. It's not really heard so loud. Have you noticed? Yeah. The second one is very short. So, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's there. It should be there in the consciousness, you know. It's very short. Any other question? With this implicity.
Implicity.
Yeah.
Because, for instance, in one other part of the record where Prabhupada is chanting, it is almost that the last two Rama are almost completely implicit.
Yeah, yeah. There is this very quick chanting tape. That quick chanting tape was recorded at a initiation ceremony where there were 100 devotees or so who were initiated. Prabhupada would chant before each, you know, or during the initiation, he would chant one round during the he would give the initiation. So when he had 100 devotees giving to whom he gave initiation, he chanted 100 rounds. So some of them he chanted in his mind, just very fast. You can't hear the words, the names. My God brothers who give many, sometimes Radhanath Maharaj has initiations where he gives initiations to 400 devotees in one sitting. 400. This is in India. So many comment. Then he starts a few months before to chant on the rounds. You know, to chant on the japa malas, to complete them. So that's not really a normal japa tape, which is, it's an initiation tape, which is recorded under certain circumstances. The shastras tell us we should pronounce each syllable clearly. Of the 32 mantra, 32 syllable mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The R in the last, and the Rama is not so. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. It's a little, that we can do in kirtan. Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ketan is so nice. Yeah. Revaye. Ramo, then you have joined the Bengalis. The Bengalis say always for A, they pronounce it as O. Anjana. We say, our Sanskrit is Anjana. Anjana. Ramo, Ramo, O, O. The Bengali style. Lord Rama knows whom we mean. I mean, the real problems happen when you are from France. You say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, because you can't say more problems is even if you're from China, yes, because the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Lama. No, I heard. I was on Braj Mandal Parikrama. We had 20 Chinese devotees, you know, and they were chanting, and it drove me up the palm tree, you know. Prabhuji, Rama. Lama. No. Rama. <You know. laughs> Very sweet devotees, and I can imagine Krishna hears them also. Hare Lama. Please don't chant like this. You have an R somewhere here. Braj Kishore.
Why?
Shaking when you chant. The Hari Bhakti Vilas says we should not shake, and we should not shake our beads or the. The idea is it upsets the mind. The mind is very sensitive and very much in movement. So, but others do change. They move back and forth like this. I notice always when there is a nice bhajan, you please look this evening. Devotees go like this. Have you noticed this? It's because the hearts are moved, and then from the movement of the heart, the body also moves. That's a total biological thing, and that's all right. It's the beginning of feelings for Krishna. It is all right, but you should not, come from outside with outside movement like. Like I saw, I won't tell the name, but there was one devotee who was chanting like this: Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And he looked like a lightweight boxer, And I asked him, Prabhuji, you are moving your hands. Some reason must be there. Yes, I'm fighting with Maya in my japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I said, I think we should invite the TV and, have this on TV, and then they will have a very good impression of it, because it looks very dysfunctional, probably. When you really go into boxing box, I don't know, against the sand sack or when you swim or I don't know when. When you do it from outside, it's not good. But when there is a mood and you feel what to do, you feel your heart is being moved, then the body moves. But the idea really is to start meditatively, no rajas. And then you go into Hare Krishna, Hare, oh Krishna, save me, Krishna, Krishna, then very good, very good. You're feeling something for Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
Theoretically, I understand that we should be in this correct sitting position. But practically, I cannot sit in this position more than 10 minutes. And also, I like very much to move, to dance. I preferred practically always to go up and down, almost not the whole chapter, but most of the. And for now, I ask you. It does not work to go. I can better concentrate, and also my body. I mean,
Mataji, you are a passionate Westerner. Japa is meditation. And the scriptures tell us that meditation can be best done in sitting in a calm and peaceful situation. Now, I acknowledge we have habits which are, good that you don't box during your japa, but this devotee who was a lightweight boxer felt necessary. Hare Krishna. It looks so aggressive. Yes, we are made of habits, that's true. And when we have habits, like sitting habits, these muscles become short. This muscle becomes short, and then we can't sit because we are habituated to sit like this. You're not sitting on the in the situation which is best for meditation, because we Westerners are just wasting our human form of life. That's our culture. And therefore we are in a habit where everything needs to be learned new. I'm very happy that you bring out this point where you talk of your habits. Exactly, that is what we address in a retreat. We want to create new habits which are more healthy for our spiritual practice than the old habits are. Many. Prabhupada, he has said, when you get, before you are so tired and sleep, then it's good to just walk. I also always, after eating, I walk and chant, because, and so on. But for the practice of mantra meditation, you can't do meditation without putting your this pelvis, opening the chest and putting the head. This is the ideal situation since time immemorial, and we want to create it. Now, the Vedanta Sutra also says that this is ideal, but if your mind can better concentrate in another position, do that. So if you can better concentrate by walking up and down, boxing into the air, jumping from 2 meters up and down, then do this, you know. But slowly bring your old habits into a meditative situation. Yeah, yes. I also noted, and I like dancing also. Have you seen me in action? I really like dancing, but this is for kirtan. Kirtan is something else than japa. We will learn the difference between kirtan and japa in the afternoon. But and then in the afternoon we will make a surprising exercise. We will actually have someone listen to our japa and give us a feedback of what we do good and what, where is room for improvement. It will be powerful, Prabhupada. You will. It's so helpful you can't imagine. Kirtan and dancing is something else than meditating about the thing.
How shall we pronounce Krishna right? Because sometimes I make this hissing.
How to do Krishna right? How to chant Krishna right? Krishna. When you go too much into no. Haribo, it's not like this. Krishna, just like that. If you have a little, like, see, we all have our own language defects. Like the Germans always put too much R. Krishna, you know, especially from South Germany. I mean, Mahaprabhu used to laugh about the accents of the people of Sylhet, that's Bangladesh, and he would imitate them, and they would become so mad at him, they would chase him, and Gauranga, this was when he was still in the Grihastha ashram. I have also seen this when I imitate someone's language. You know, I have a devotee from, a disciple from Germany, a wonderful disciple who always says Chapa, and other such wonderful new creations of the language. And well, this devotee is very advanced. Yeah, she doesn't mind if I'm. Krishna. Yes, so Krishna. My dear devotees, I would love to, please save your questions. We want to eat on, not eat, we want to stop on time and also eat on time. I want to just give you a few recommendations. I thank you very much for going so much into this and being so attentive all the time. It's not so easy, you might notice, because when the sun is up, it's more difficult. The afternoon session will be easier for you. So I do recommend you before the morning session, which starts at 11:45, to maybe rest a little like Devashi Narada does now. Lie a little on the left side. Well, he's now awake, but he was just resting so nicely. Lie a little on the left side and, you know, come awake. Maybe we can tell Indra to send some clouds during the morning session, that there is not so much sun. But what do you think? Should we make in the evening a little evening walk and go to the coast? I also thought it would be nice. We found a very nice place. And in the evening time, I thought we should just walk a little, move our bodies a little in the coast, and go to the spot. Last year there was an octopus and he would spray the devotees who were sleeping with water. We can ask them to come this year also. Don't know. Govindananda, can you ask the octopus to come? Well, we do like this. I suggest, yes, we start at 4:30 as scheduled, because, you know, devotees need to move a little around. Then it's easier to rest also. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, please take care that you don't eat too much, but eat as enough as you are hungry, so that you're easier to be alert. It's easier to be alert. So today we learned physical things. We learned about how important it is to have a good japa day, because then we have a good life. It's a Krishna conscious life. Good life sounds as if we are advocating material life here. But the second thing we learned is posture as being important, then pronunciation and so on. In the afternoon we will learn a little bit more about how long each round should be, and there will be a few more exercises and a few more surprises for you. So I'm looking very much forward to see you at 4:30. I'm also extremely impressed how much you practice being on time in the mode of goodness. Really wonderful. Amazing. So have a nice lunch prasadam and Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.